going to church and wanting to go to church as a new Christian myself, and not going to everything that I possibly could. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Sarah, no, you've got to be there for Jose. You know, you've got to only go when Jose wants you to go. And I remember I particularly wanted to go to a talk. I think it was John Wimber speaking years and years ago. And there was amazing, I thought it was going to be an amazing conference. And I really, really wanted to go. And Jose, I tried every which way to convince him. And he said, no, I'm not having you going there. You're going to be crushed by all these millions of people. And he wouldn't let me go. And later on, again, I wanted to go to something, and I kept leaving little notes around and little think Bible verses and things like that. And I think, you know, some of the things I think Jose said that you know, I tried the soft, loving wife bit. And then I tried the hell and damnation bit. And I thought, well, you know, if you don't, you're going to go to hell. And I started talking about the beast and 666 and all these things like that. And unbeknown to me, he used to go into the loo with my Bible and started reading Ezekiel and Daniel and all those sort of books and Revelation. But it was... I went to, Jose was really, 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 really depressed. And I decided, well, I had to take Charlotte back to school. She went to weekly boarding school. And I had to take her back on a Monday morning. We had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I get her down to Kent. And Jose really wasn't fit to drive. He was in such a bad state. And I drove her down to school, and I think I lost my way coming back home again. And when I got back home, Jose said, I need to go back a bit. He'd let me then go to a conference on my own. And at the conference was the very first time that Nikki Gumbel had released the alpha tapes, the alpha videos. So I went with my pastor and he bought the first three video, alpha videotapes. And he said to me, Sarah, why don't you let Jose see them? And I said, well, all I can do is just leave them in the kitchen and just pray that he might look at one. So anyway, when I got back from taking Charlotte to school, Jose said, that was a very interesting video. Well, oh gosh, I started getting really excited about that. And the next day, I think I had to go to the hairdressers or something, and he watched the next one. And a few days later, he came, I was sitting at my desk, and he said to me, Sarah, there's supposed to be five of these videos. Why is it that there are only three? And I said, well, I think Chaz didn't want to spend the money or couldn't afford to buy any more of them at the time. And then Jose came to me and with tears in his eyes, and he said, can you order the next, ask Chaz to order the next two, and here's a check to pay for them. I mean, I was totally gobsmacked, as you can imagine. And anyway, we got them, and he listened to them very surreptitiously when I was out, and nothing seemed to happen. But in the meantime, God was saying to me, you know, I was trying to do everything I could. And the Lord said to me, Sarah, you cannot do anything. And I said, okay, Lord, you do it. Actually, I was quite cross. I said, God, I've tried to do everything I can. And he said, well, you can't. This is my work. And I said, okay, you do it, Lord. I'm not doing anything else. And then I invited Chaz to come to supper one evening. And we had supper and nothing was said, and I was getting anxious. And I said to Chaz, Chaz said to Jose, well, have you made a commitment? And he said, yes, I have. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? He said, well, you didn't ask. And I was trying to be, you know, not trying to be too inquisitive. But what I was trying to say really is that we just have to leave it to the Lord. And I know that I had to change my attitude and not want to go to all the conferences and twice out on a Sunday. And it did pay off in the end. Ginny, as you said, it doesn't work for everybody like that. But certainly it did for me. Jose, do you want to chip in here or anything?
No.
No? Have I said what's right?
Funny, I don't know. You said what's in your heart. That's fine.
Anyway, that's my little Pennyware.
I could I possibly share a little story similar to that, if it's appropriate? Steve, is that okay?
I shall go ahead, Jackie.
Thumbs up from Steve.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. It was just in case anything else was going to happen. I gave up in 2008. I gave up my job and my house and my car to go to Israel because I believe that's where God wanted me to serve for about 3 years. And it was quite a sort of commitment in a sense because I rented out my home. I didn't actually give it away, but my job had a car, so I didn't have any transport. And I went to Israel for 5 weeks and checked about 3 different charities.
And you're getting interference again.
I really didn't know which one that God wanted me to serve with. So I came back home and I had to stay with my parents. But my mum became a Christian about 3 or 4 months after I became a Christian because she did actually see the transition in me, but my father didn't. And I was doing similar things to what you ladies have already shared. I was leaving little John's Gospels about, or The Way, the Truth and the Life, or, well, as you saw earlier, the Glasgow Gospel and little books and things like that I thought my dad might pick up. And I actually invited him, and he went to Billy Graham and Franklin Graham and all the rest of it. But the reality was that when I went to Israel, I found myself, and I think I had been praying for my dad previously, but I found myself really on my knees and interceding. And I had never really prayed with such a fervour in my heart for my dad's salvation. And so basically, I was there for 8 months, and I was coming into a really busy period at the charity that I was actually working for, I was serving with, and I just felt God say, go home. And I was really like, oh Lord, people in Scotland are going to be upset with me because they've given money for me here. The people in the charity were very upset with me because it was coming to the busiest period. But I felt God say, go home, so strongly. And I did check with a few friends who were sort of my spiritual advisors, as it were, and they said, look, Jackie, we don't understand, but if you really feel very strongly, you need to go home. So I came home and I had still no home. Technically, I had to go and stay with my parents because I had rented out my house. And basically, the day that I got into my mum and dad's house, I blurted out, Dad, you need to know Jesus. And my friend was there with me, and she basically led my dad to the Lord, and he died 7 weeks later. And, you know, had I stayed in Israel for 3 years, God knows. But basically, you know, there are times when it's tough. There are times when we can't do things in our own strength at all. And I think that's the reality of, we've got to, and it's hard when it's your loved ones. You know, it's really hard. And if you're praying for them all the time, and then you maybe, you know, I don't know, sometimes you don't get as fervent and you back off a bit. But we do have to leave it with God. And that was his timing, you know. And I'm just thankful that, my dad became a Christian 7 weeks before he died, because I would have been utterly heartbroken, really heartbroken, had he not been. But it was fascinating to see that, you know, my mum had become a Christian virtually 35 years earlier, as I say, 6 months after I became a Christian. So that was a long time that me and my mum had been praying for my dad. But But it was in God's timing, and I thank God that I was able to be part of that process. So I just wanted to share that. Hopefully it'll encourage somebody.
Yeah, thank you. That was very moving.
David, the things that you said about entering heaven, the quotations you were reading about, if you want to get into heaven, you won't get in there. But if you want to, can you remember the quote? Do you know what I'm referring to? If you want to be with the Lord, then you'll get there. Something like that. They're a lot more succinct than that.
Was it the John Piper quote? The gospel is not a way to get people to heaven, it's the way to get people to God. If we don't want God above all things, we've not been converted by the gospel. He also said those people who would be happy in heaven if Christ was not there will not be there, but I didn't quote that earlier. Or are you talking about when I was talking about praying?
No, you're right, the John Piper stuff. That was very profound, I thought.
Yes, I was always initially concerned with John Piper's Christian hedonism. It just seemed a bit self-centered, is how I understood it. But the more you read into it and the more you understand the heart of the man, I might not agree with all of his theology, but he's got a real heart for the Lord and for the Lord's people to know the Lord and to have Jesus as the sole object of their affection. I remember challenging our house group down in Essex with what I thought was a quote from him. Well, it was a quote from him, but I think it comes from Jonathan Edwards. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So somebody can tell me whether that's Jonathan Edwards or not. I think I've discovered that since. But it's a profound statement. It first of all sounds like self-satisfaction, but when we are most satisfied in the Lord, the earth and the worldly things hold no attraction for us, and we become the holy people he wants us to be. And in becoming holy, we become more like him. And that is an incredibly attractive holiness. So the more we are satisfied in God, the more glorified he is in us. It took me a bit of thinking on that, but... Yes, this is a bit that struck me. Christ did not die to forgive sinners so that they can go on treasuring anything above seeing and savouring God. Christ didn't die to save us from our sins and then confirm us in them. He died to save us from our sins and deliver us from them, and to reveal his own likeness in us.
It feels to me as if I've been on an entire retreat just from your talk. So much to reflect on. Was that a book of John Piper's or a pamphlet you're quoting from?
It was a book that I only have the quote from. I don't have the book. God is the Gospel, Meditations on God's Love as the Gift of Himself. I don't know what else is in the book, so I can't recommend the book unqualified, although I can give you another quote from it, I think. Yes, this I didn't put this one in because it was a first today. I finished spot on time, but so I didn't want to put too much in, more than I put in already. I know there was a lot there. I sometimes think I'm like, we were in America somewhere down near the Grand Canyon, and we were walking across a sandy hill, and a couple of girls walking in front of us had bare feet. And all of a sudden, there was a baby rattlesnake in front of us, only about 12 inches long. And we were concerned. They didn't seem to be too concerned. But talking to somebody later, they said baby rattlesnakes are the most dangerous because the older rattlesnakes know just how much poison to give. The baby doesn't, and it just dumps everything on you. And I sometimes think I'm like a baby rattlesnake, just putting so much in the message. But I didn't put this quote in, but I can quote it now because I'm off record. John, in the same book, God is the Gospel, I am wired by nature to love the same toys that the world loves. I start to fit in. I start to love what others love. I start to call Earth home. Before you know it, I am calling luxuries needs and using my money just the way unbelievers do. I begin to forget the war. I don't think much about people perishing. Missions and unreached people drop out of my mind. I stop dreaming about the triumphs of grace. I sink into a secular mindset that looks first to what man can do, not what God can do. It is a terrible sickness. And I thank God for those who forced me again and again towards a wartime mindset. And she's looking, that might be from his, for another book called Don't Waste Your Life. Yeah, going back to God is the Gospel, Meditations on God's Love. He says, the critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness and with all the friends you ever had on earth and all the food you ever liked and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed and all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you ever tasted and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ were not there?
Mm.
Jesus has to be the absolute and only priority in his life. God of Heaven with the heart of a lover, conquering king with compassion in his voice. Nathan Fellingham's father or mother or something. That's a lovely thought there. God of Heaven with the heart of a lover, conquering king with compassion in his voice. I just wish I knew more about this in practice.
David, it's Monica here.
Yep.
Hello. I'd love to have a transcript of your talk. It would be really good to have that words. So that we could actually read through it and meditate on all the different parts.
It is mailable. I don't normally write my messages out in full, but somehow I felt compelled to do that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, there have been other requests as well.
Maybe if I copy it to Steve, he can put it somewhere. Although Pat Baird did offer to do a full transcript from the recording, but that will obviously take a day or two to appear.
Steve's just put his thumbs down to that idea.
Right, so Monica and Steve, you now have the
notes. If we upgraded to the next version of Zoom, that they do automatic transcriptions.
Wow. Actually, it should be. I've never worked out how to do it, but it should be possible to share a document with anybody who's logged in, but I have no idea how to do that. It's not on the share screen.
Is this something that could be organised for after the conference to be picked up from the website or? Steve, you're muted.
I can email it to everyone on the list if they're interested.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. Yes. Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Right. That's, you're saying yes for everyone then. Yeah.
Steve, do we want to break early for dinner just to give people a few minutes to reflect?
Yeah, that's a good
just checking. There's nothing that, nothing in the script that will that will look odd.
Nigel, it's Paul here.
Hello, Paul.
Am I able to unmute myself if you mute me?
It looks as if, I was just about to put it on the discussion, it looks as if when we were muted this time, someone didn't click the option to prevent people being able to unmute themselves.
Okay.
Because it's happened quite a lot this session, that people have unmuted themselves.
Yes.
But it can only be done once at the very beginning, that the host has to choose to not allow unmuting.
Okay.
And I think that wasn't done by accident this time.
Point is, I realised, having been doing some typing, that every time I pressed the space bar, I was temporarily unmuting myself. And that became embarrassing. Or it could have been.
Well, that is correct. That is a keyboard shortcut.
Yeah, I know, but I thought that I would have been muted by the host, and therefore I couldn't unmute myself.
Yeah.
As Nigel says, there's a little tick box when we mute everybody to allow people to unmute themselves.
So the session didn't start that way.
It looks like it didn't.
Okay. So when we all put our hands up waiting for you to unmute us, we could have done it ourselves anyway.
Please don't spread the word.
But it looks as if people were very self-disciplined. And
it looks like it, yes. And am I right that the co-hosts have a little cloud with a red dot flashing next to them?
Yeah. Yes, because I'm recording the session to the cloud. And if for some reason it comes up against everybody, every co-host name.
It does, doesn't it?
Only me doing the recording.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's to stop any other co-host recording, I suspect.
Oh, I see. It's a signal to them that a recording is going on, so you can't do anything.
Only one person can record to the cloud at any one time.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so make sure you don't stop the recording thinking that it's happening.
Well, yeah, they'd say if they thought they were recording, they might end up stopping it, so. And my thanks as well, David, for that time, that talk and the discussion afterwards. Thank you very much, David.
Well, thank you for that. That's, I'll say, challenging beyond belief.
Well, quite. But blame Steve, he's given us the commandments to talk on.
Well, that's right, yes. Yeah. You can relax into the Shabbat tomorrow afternoon.
Well, that's a challenge for me now.
Well, you're still going to get through tomorrow morning with David Andrew.
Yes.
Not taking the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Indeed.
So there's a lot of... There's a lot of hooks in that this afternoon for David.
Yeah.
Apart from the ones he left. Want to save your recording before you lose it.
Yeah, we're all done.
Before someone comes in and deletes it.
So this was just from Sarah's testimony onwards, this bit.